our best to remember Him, to serve Him, and to love Him. So Krishna is a very grateful God. So He remembers our smallest little service. Ishvara Svabhav Bhaktir Nalai Aparad Alpaseva Bahumani Atma Paryanta Prasad. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned that the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that He doesn't consider the offenses of His devotees against Him seriously at all. Sometimes a baby may slap the mother or the father. Mother, father doesn't go to the police station. You know, this baby has slapped my face. Sometimes babies can do, they pull their hair and they do all sorts of things. They can throw things at you. So you don't take it seriously. So similarly, the Supreme Lord doesn't take the offenses of His devotees seriously, even if they are offenses. But on the contrary, if somebody renders even a little bit of service to Him, alpa seva, alpa means very little, seva means service. So even if somebody has rendered very little service to Krishna, He considers that very great, bahumani. And so much so, that for that very little service that the devotee has rendered to Him, He is willing to even give Himself up utterly to that devotee. Atma Paryanta Prasad. Atma Paryanta means even up to the point of giving Himself up to the devotee. So Krishna can even do that. And that is why He doesn't give Krishna consciousness that easily. Because He has to give Himself up to the devotee. So for the pure devotee, even if the devotee dies or leaves his or her body in a situation where one is not externally conscious in sleep or something like that, and is not able to physically remember Krishna, but Krishna will remember the devotee and will take care of the devotee and ensure that the devotee will go back to Godhead. One devotee was giving an interesting analogy or metaphor to explain this point. You know, when I think I explained this in my previous visit here in one class, I remember. Now, when you go to work, you get a salary for the month. How many working days in a month? Working days? About 25, roughly. And you get a salary for how many days? 30 days. Right? You work only for 25 days, but your salary is for 30 days. So then you get salary for 5 days without working in a month. Am I right?
No.
Why are you not confident in replying yes? Yes, isn't it? Yeah, sure. Are you confident about that?
It's only for full-time employees, not
the... Yeah, full-time. I'm talking of full-time. We'll not get into the technicalities of part-time and full-time. He's a full-time employee, but he has weekends off. So, doesn't go to work for 5 or 6 days, you know, 4 or 5 days in a month, but gets the full salary for the month, as if he or she had worked for the whole month. So there's a clever employee. So the employee approaches the boss and says, look, you're paying me for 30 days even though I'm working only for 25. So what I'll do is, I'll quit the job. But anyway, you were paying me 5 days without working. So you can continue to pay me those 5 days salary. You get the point? Now, is the boss going to say yes?
No.
No. Why not? What will he say?
So you're not working, get out.
Yeah, he may say that. But what would he respond? What would the logic be?
You're not an employee.
Basically he would say that you get this 5 months salary without working because you're working the other 25 days. If you don't work the other 25 days, then you're not entitled to this 5 days of free salary. So if you quit the job, you're not working the other 25 days, you're not entitled to the 5 days of salary. So similarly, if a devotee is working hard, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna with devotion for as long as possible, if somehow or the other death comes when one is not externally conscious, still the salary will come. You get the analogy? Even though you may not have been able to actually remember Krishna at the time of death, but the salary will come, which means you will get the benefit. However, if somebody hasn't practiced remembering Krishna, then there's no way that person can remember Krishna. No question of salary anymore. So as devotees, our goal is to remember Krishna and try to act in such a way that we will be able to think of Krishna at death. And the way to practice that is to try to remember Krishna in difficult circumstances. Because death is the most difficult event that we're going to have to face in our life. The greatest challenge. So let's start with the small challenges in life. Somebody said something to us that got us irritated. Immediately we think of so many other colorful things. Rather we should think of Krishna at that time. So practice remembering Krishna in the little challenges that we have in our day-to-day life. First, let's begin with that. That's our practice for the biggest challenge. Because when you're learning something, you start with small things. You take baby steps. If you're learning a sport or learning anything, any technique for something, you start simple, in the simple way, the small things. So here also, in order to prepare for our perfect departure from this world, glorious departure, we have to start by practicing remembering Krishna in the little experiences and the little things of this world. And Krishna will give us plenty of opportunity every day. Because every day there are things that happen in our life that we don't like. Am I right? Yeah. As you're driving a car, somebody comes in your way, or something happens. Something or the other is constantly happening in this material world. Numberless things in life happen day after day to irritate us, annoy us, to make us sad or angry. So here are occasions where we try to remember Krishna. And remember, it's not only in times of pain or distress that we should practice remembering Krishna. We have to practice remembering Krishna even in good times, quote-unquote good times. Because we may think, when something is good, when success comes, we may start claiming credit for ourselves. You see, I actually did it so well. I got the gold medal at the university because I was so brilliant. Or I got the bank this contract, made $1 million because I was such a good businessman. So we may start taking credit for things ourselves. And when success comes, we start appropriating that credit also. Think, yeah, I'm the cause of it. And then we forget Krishna. So when I speak of practicing remembering Krishna in the small things in life, I'm speaking of all types of experiences, not necessarily only those that give pain, but even in pleasure, even in neutral situations, we should practice remembering Krishna. Then we can be reasonably sure that we will be able to, by Krishna's mercy, remember Him at the time of death. It's serious business, but it can also be fun. So Krishna consciousness is fun. It's not a boring thing. It's a transcendental adventure. So there's numerous innovative and creative ways that you can remember Krishna in. And Prabhupada was a genius. A pure devotee of the Lord is a genius because he devises numerous innovative ways to engage the general population in devotional service so that they can somehow or the other remember Krishna. Yena kena prakarena manaha Krishna nureshayet. Somehow or the other, by hook or by crook, one should learn, remember Krishna. That's the goal of the Vedic scriptures. That's the goal of life. We have to remember with devotion, of course. Not like Kamsa was remembering with anger, hatred, fear, and so on. So this is what our life is meant for. And the great acharyas have, and the great devotees in history, they have shown by their personal example how they departed from this world. So over the next three lectures, I'll try to talk about a few pure devotees depending on how it goes and how much time we have. We'll talk about Dhruva Maharaj and how he departed from this world. We'll talk about Prithu Maharaj and how he departed from this world. A brief mention of Madhavendra Puri, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We'll also talk about Haridas Thakur and how he departed from this world. Maybe if time permits, a brief discussion on how Bhishma left this world. Ideal departures, ideal death. So the art of dying is a very important art for us. The art of dying is perfected by those who learn the art of Krishna conscious living. So the art of Krishna conscious living will help us to perfect the art of dying. Then our life is successful. Hare Krishna. So we stop here. I'll leave some time for questions. Yes.
Maharaj, what about little babies or kids who haven't started the Krishna consciousness yet? So how would they, do they go back to Godhead, or what happens to this?
The question is that what about babies who are not able to practice Krishna consciousness properly? Do they go back to Godhead or not? The general principle is only one who is a pure devotee of Krishna goes back to Godhead. So the baby has become a pure devotee somehow or the other from the previous life's Krishna consciousness, and there's some exceptional mercy in this life, then maybe the baby can go back to Godhead. If not, probably has to wait. In the examination of death, you know what the pass mark is? The universities, how much is it in Australia? What's the pass mark? 50%. And in the university of death, what is the pass mark? 100%. 100% pass mark. You have to remember Krishna. So even if we're remembering 90%, Krishna will give us a very favorable birth in the next life. We can be born in a family of devotees, and from very babyhood or childhood we can practice Krishna consciousness. Okay? Yes.
Thank you for the nice answer. Just going back to the point where you said there are nice devotees and the death may come in sleep. On the other hand, there are devotees that could be, we're talking about very, very highly elevated, decades and centuries of devotion, and for them it looks like sometimes death may come very, apparently appear like unjust and get traumatized. When we hear or see those kind of things, it can be discouraging, thinking if they can have a traumatizing and disturbing and unfair end like that, what's the chance of us? How can we get over that?
Your question is that many great devotees had deaths that seemed to be very unfair or traumatic deaths. So if that's so for such great devotees, then what about us ordinary devotees? Yes? You see, for great devotees like the Pandavas and so on, or Bhishma, Krishna Krishna orchestrates their departures from this world to teach us how we should plan to depart from this world. Because we all need ideal examples, role models in our life. So when we look at these great devotees and see how they were steadfast in their Krishna consciousness, they never wavered even a little bit, even in the greatest difficulties in life. They had to undergo so many trials and tribulations, but they never forgot Krishna. They never became ungrateful to Krishna. They never blamed Krishna. They remained devoted to Him and left the world thinking of Him in devotion. So such cases, are extreme cases, are there for our instruction. So that we learn that, look, the kind of difficulties that these great devotees had are so great compared to the little difficulties that I have. So why should I grumble so much about my, complain about my difficulties? So my situation is so much easier and better than these great devotees. So it's inspirational for us. That is why some of these great devotees were placed in such circumstances, so that they could teach by their behavior and their example in those situations to the rest of the world. Okay? Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for a beautiful class. You mentioned that devotees are merciful and they spread Krishna's name even though people don't want to hear it. I was just wondering how far do we have to keep trying that even though they're very adamant that they don't want to speak? And if they don't want to take up Krishna consciousness, do we take it as our downfall that we haven't presented to them?
No.
Or how do we take that?
Okay, so the question is, the devotees are very compassionate and they want to give Krishna to everybody. So what if somebody is very adamant and doesn't want to receive Krishna consciousness? How far do we keep on trying? And if we are unsuccessful, is that our failure and our downfall? First and foremost, we cannot force people to do things. Even Krishna didn't force Arjuna. He told him the whole Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, yathechasi tatha kuru. My dear Krishna, Arjuna, I have told you what I have to say. Now you may do as you please. So similarly, when we want to give Krishna to others, we can't force them. We just try to offer Krishna to them in a way that we think would be palatable to them. We give them prasadam, we give them the holy name, we give them some philosophy if they're willing to hear. But we don't try to impose it on them in general. Now, this particular instance where I talked about the doctor trying to do it to the patient, there may be various legal restrictions and constraints in various countries that you can't do that to unwilling patients or unwilling people. So you have to be cautious about that. But yes, we have to recognize that our duty is to give in as reasonable and compassionate and sensible a manner as possible. And then it's between that person and Krishna, whether he or she will accept or not. And as far as us being failures, if we are not successful, not really. Success or failure is not in the result on the path of yoga. It is in the effort that we are successful. If we sincerely try on behalf of Krishna, trying to be His instrument, Krishna is pleased with that effort. Ultimately, the result is given by Krishna. So even if somebody does take to Krishna consciousness as a result of our speaking or acting, it's ultimately Krishna in the heart of that person who has changed that person's heart. So we shouldn't be taking the credit. We have simply had the fortune of being used as instruments by Krishna. And sometimes Krishna may choose for His own reasons to not inspire that person to take to Krishna consciousness. So either way, what is Krishna looking at from us? He is looking at our sincere endeavor. So we have to use our intelligence, we have to be sincere about wanting to give Krishna to people. And then we leave it to Krishna. So do your best and to Krishna leave the rest. Right? Any other question? One last question, yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned once that devotees should not endeavor for excessive material gain. The question is, what is the fine line between excessive and not so excessive?
Okay, the question is that it was mentioned in the class that we should not endeavor for excessive material gain. So where is the fine line when we say, okay, this is excessive and this is not excessive? The same question came up twice in Melbourne when I was there, just a few days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. Two people asked the same question in different sessions. And the answer is very simple, as far as I can see. Whatever you have now, that's it. That's reasonable. Now we have a fairly decent, comfortable way of living. Be satisfied with that. And if there is more opulence of wealth in your destiny, it will come. We have to continue our honest, intelligent endeavor, reasonable endeavors. We are not stopping our endeavors. Let's say someone's a businessman. He's not going to stop doing business. He'll continue doing business, and if it's there in his destiny, he's using his intelligence, he's working hard, reasonably hard, then if that has to come, it'll come, the wealth. So we begin by being satisfied with what we have now, here and now. So that solves all debates. So no confusion. Otherwise, it's always a debatable thing, but this much for somebody, that much for someone. Everyone's needs are different. What is luxury for one is necessity for another. We can have so many arguments and discussions at no end. It's an important topic to talk about. Even then, we should analyze that also. But the short answer is that let's just be satisfied with what we have now. And leave it to destiny if destiny wants to give us more later. And focus our valuable energy and time on Krishna consciousness. Alright, so it's 9 o'clock, we'll stop here. And now it's time for the arati. Yes, 9 o'clock is the arati.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sorry,
yes, Bhakti Rasamrita
Swami Maharaj.
Jai.